on It's Supernatural. See how rain supernaturally falls in the middle of a severe drought, and how signs from heaven transform a nation.
Can ancient secrets of the supernatural be rediscovered? Do angels exist? Is there life after death? Are healing miracles real? Can you get supernatural help from another dimension? Has the future been written in advance? Sid Roth has spent 30 years researching the strange world of the supernatural. Join Sid on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. My guest, Jennifer Toledo, had an experience. Jennifer, this is so phenomenal. You were in Africa, in a remote village, and you were about ready to die. And you had a mysterious guest come in and perform surgery from the invisible world. But at 2 years of age, you had an encounter with the Messiah of Israel. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I was just a young child. I was scared, you know, and would cry at night. And one night I had an experience where I just saw Jesus come into my room, and he just sat on my bed, and he just said, "You don't need to cry." And he said, I'll take care of you." And he just sat there, and it just brought absolute peace to me. My parents were shocked because I was screaming, and then I just suddenly stopped and came running out and was like, "Did you guys see Jesus?" And they were like, "What in the world is she talking about?"
You know, if I had had such an encounter as you described, my mind would go back to it often over the years. Does yours?
Yeah, I think more than my mind, it's my heart. Just that place of peace. I remember just that peace of him sitting there next to me, and what I felt of just absolute confidence. And I went to sleep, and I just commonly can go there and just remember him sitting next to my bed whenever I'm stressing out or whatever, and knowing that he's just looking after me.
And your mom got a divorce when you were young, and you watched God perform miracles. For instance, tell me about the red car.
Oh my goodness. My mom taught us from a young age that God was our Father, and just to really treat him like our Father and go to him with our needs, and just very practically. He's not just theory, but he's a real dad. And you know, one time we didn't have a car, and my mom used to make us stand with her at the window, and she would look out into the driveway, and she'd say, do you see my red car sitting there? And we'd like make fun of her and be like, "What are you talking about, Mom? There's no red car." And she'd just say, "Oh, just have faith. I just know that God's going to provide us a car." And she goes, "And I told God, you know, my first choice is a red car." And we were like, "Okay, Mom." And sure enough, a short time later, there was a knock on our door. We went and opened the door, and it was a relative we hadn't seen in a long time. And they said, "You know, this is going to sound crazy, but we've never done anything like this, but we just feel like we're to give you our car." They told my mom this. And my mom was like, "Oh my goodness." And we ran to the window and we looked, and parked in our driveway is this red car that they had given
How excited
mom.
Were you?
We were so excited. We were like, "Oh my gosh, God's so good. He provides."
I mean, but God provided food and all sorts of things. And then there was a day in which you journaled almost a warning from God. Tell me about that in your diary.
Yeah, you know, just one of my times of just praying, I began to just feel God speaking to my heart, and he just said, you know, I'm inviting you on this crazy mission, this crazy adventure with me. It's going to be very costly. It's going to be very lonely. It's going to be very hard. It's going to cost you everything. But if you will say yes to my highest for you, you know, putting down what's comfortable to really pursuing what's on his heart, if you'll do that, this is about spiritual promotion. This is about gaining authority. It's going to be worth it.
Okay, so you get on a plane to go to Africa. How much money did you have? Who went with you? What kind of preparation did you have?
Negative, negative, and negative. I had no money.
How does a young woman like that go to Africa alone without money?
No, it's
give me
absolutely
a break. What did your mother say?
My mother was freaking out, hands down. But I knew God had said to do this. I knew this was the invitation. And I went by myself. I was 21 years old. I had no money. I had very few connections. and ended up in northern Kenya, very remote desert, all by myself, and the surroundings there were horrific. I mean, it was drought, war, famine, you know, violence, death. It was crazy, Sid. It was absolutely crazy, but I knew it was God.
And you found out that it was such a spiritual desert. It was because the Turkana tribe had made a covenant with Satan thousands of years ago.
Right. You know, when I thought it really couldn't get worse, I realized that the entire tribe was in blood covenants with Satan. And I just cried and was like, what am I doing here? I'm just nobody. You know, why in the world? What can I do? I'm totally inadequate. And God spoke to me. He said, you know what? You are completely inadequate. Don't forget, that's your greatest strength. And then he asked me an interesting question. He said, do you believe that I'm the God that uses David's to bring down Goliath? And that was, you know, in other words, do you believe that I can use simple people to do great things? It's about me. It's not about you. And I was like, okay, God, I know that you love these people, and I know you want to bring restoration to this land. So we began to just pray and ask God for strategy for that land.
All right, so God gives you a supernatural strategy, but with the strategy comes a warning. What was the warning?
Well, God had given us a strategy to see breakthrough come.
But basically, in a nutshell, what was the strategy?
The strategy was to gather all the leaders together of the tribe and have them corporately repent and break the covenant with the enemy. But what he said was the only way out of this blood covenant is that the tribe has to enter into a stronger blood covenant. And the only stronger blood covenant is covenants with Jesus.
And what was the warning that you got?
So the warning I got was God said, this is awesome, I want you to do this, but knowing if you do, the enemy has asked to take your life. Satan is very angry, doesn't want these people out of bondage, and wants to take your life. And I didn't know what that meant other than I knew it was serious. I really prayed about it, and I said, okay, God, Satan can't steal my life. I will lay my life down for this tribe if this is what you've sent me to do, but my life is in your hands. I trust you. And
But 24 hours later, she finds herself dying in a remote village with no medical help, nothing, alone in the middle of Africa. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this word.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Jennifer Toledo. And so, Jennifer, you're in the middle of nowhere in Africa. You're dying, and you're breaking a covenant that's been thousands of years with Satan that has stopped people from coming to know God in that particular region. You're dying, but you proceed. They break the covenant by forming a stronger covenant, the covenant with God through Jesus. And what changes occurred after that covenant was broken in that region?
Yes, it was absolutely incredible. We actually did this at the peak of the drought, the middle of the summer. It's like 110 to 120 degrees. It was so hot, and just the conditions in that land were so horrific. And we said, not only are the people going to come into covenants, but we're going to call the land into covenants. And so, to symbolize this, we took communion, we poured communion on the land, and we said, okay, you know, we did everything God told us to do. It was very simple. And they said, God, we really need two signs. Would you just let us know you're pleased, sign your name to this deal, something. And would you give us a sign that you've really brought down the demonic stronghold in this land? And sure enough, we got our signs. It was like living through a Bible story. It was so incredible.
Tell me, you had several signs. Tell me one of them.
Yeah, one of them was, all of a sudden, middle of the summer, the heavens literally open and it starts to pour down rain.
Never happens.
Oh my goodness. It hadn't rained in so long. I mean, you don't have to tell an African that rain means God's pleased. You know, I mean, they knew God was in this. And then this bolt of lightning struck this mountain, Goat Mountain. And that was the high point of all the demonic power. It was where they did all these sacrifices, and God struck the mountain, and you could feel something shift in the land. And then it was almost instantly we began to see things change. We had some friends that were from the Turkana tribe, and they had a curse put on them that all of their children would die at birth. And just so happened, she was 3 weeks overdue from delivering another baby. And they had lost several babies, and so they were just devastated. But as soon as we did everything God told us to do and the curse was broken, she went into labor. And everybody kind of stood by to see if, you know, this was going to really bring change. And sure enough, she delivered a perfectly healthy baby girl. The father held the baby up in front of the tribe and said, her name is Peace. She'll have no middle name, no last name. Her name is Peace. And she'll be a prophetic sign to us that on this day we came into peace with the living God. And then from that moment, like, we just saw a crazy transformation in the land. It began to rain, record rainfalls. The violence level completely diminished. People started getting saved. It was like,
you know, I love what occurred, but what about you? You were dying in this remote village.
A
guy by the name of Randy transports you. How many miles away to a hospital?
It was about 16 hours away.
I mean, you were dying.
Yes. I had been given about 24 hours to live. And this precious man found me, drove me 16 hours to a hospital. Got to the hospital, they said basically it was a miracle that I was alive. All my organs had shut down. I had severe dehydration and was very sick. They said I needed an instant surgery, and I was just like, no way, you know? And I just started, something rose up inside of me and said, no, I know that my God can heal me. I've seen God move. I've seen him heal. He loves me.
A pastor gave you an encouraging prophecy too that helped. Tell me about that.
As I was lying in the hospital, hooked up to all these machines, miserable, in pain, so incredible. This man walks into my room, this Kenyan pastor. I've never seen him before. He introduces himself and says, you don't know who I am, but the Lord woke my wife and I up last night and told us to pray for you and told me to come and give you a word. And I'm going, thank you. I want it right now. And he said, you know, the word is very simple. He said this, and he just pointed to me and my condition. And he said, God wants me to remind you, this right here, this is about spiritual promotion. This is about gaining authority. And it was the exact words God had told me and I'd written in my journal before I left.
I love it when God does something
like
that. So
fun. He knew I needed that because...
I mean, here you are. Okay, you're encouraged, but dying in the hospital.
So my heart was better. My body wasn't better yet. But it did give me the faith just to go, you know what? I know God can do this. I'm going to press in. And I know that in the middle of difficulties, choosing faith and choosing to believe his promises is that thing that pushes you through and gives you authority. And it's the thing that breaks you in.
Okay, so, well, this good friend of yours shows up in a dream. Tell me about him.
I fall asleep. And while I'm asleep, I have the most incredible encounter. I don't know how to explain it other than it was like the most beautiful, kindest light, and I knew it was Jesus, walked into my hospital room, and he took the back of his hand and he said, be still. And he just cut me right down the middle with his hand and pulled my skin open. And I was kind of, honestly, it was so real. It was like watching surgery on TV. I was like, this is gross, you know, but it was so incredible. And one by one, he just began to massage my organs and he cleaned me out and did all this stuff. And then he took my skin and closed it back up. In his hand, he had my exact skin color. It was like clay or mud, and he put it on top of me, and I was thinking, oh my gosh, am I gonna have a scar? And I was awakened in that moment. And honestly, when I woke up, I was still in total pain.
Oh no.
I know, I didn't feel any different. And I was like, no. And I just had to make a choice. And I said, I know God's character. God is not the kind of God that would tease me. I have nothing to lose at this point, so I have to believe I'm healed. So I just was like, I'm healed. And my doctor was in the room, thought I was totally crazy, and was like, you're not healed, you're actually dying, you know? But what happened was when I said, I'm healed, it was like supernatural strength came into my body. And it was when I made that agreement with who he is, and I couldn't stop. I was just like, I'm healed. I just kept screaming because it was like, every time I said it, I was feeling better. I mean, it had been 10 days of extremely ill, unable to eat.
So when you walk out of that hospital, what does the staff and doctor think?
So many of the doctors and the nurses were just in tears. They were so moved. Many of them received Jesus as their savior because it was, how could you not believe that Jesus could heal? They saw I was dying. They retested everything. All my normals, my levels were completely normal. My organs were functioning just fine. It was medically undefined. And so all the credit went to God. It was incredible. And I was completely healed.
You think that's incredible? Wait till you find out how Jennifer brings a few suitcases of clothing to Africa, and the clothing keeps multiplying. She gives away the clothes, and more clothes are in the suitcase. I mean, that sounds like what I read about in the Bible. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this word.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Amazing. This is Sid Roth with Jennifer Toledo. This is an amazing story. You go to Africa because you have a heart for children, and you have 8 suitcases jam-packed with clothing for children. Tell me what happened.
We took 8 suitcases into Rwanda, and we thought, well, let's just pick. We didn't have that much. I mean, how much can you take in 8 suitcases? We thought, let's pick the worst scenarios, and we got about 100 children in Rwanda, and we thought, well, if we can at least give them each something. And we laid all the clothes out, and we brought in these orphans that were just in these horrible conditions. Each child left with huge bag loads full of clothing and shoes and school supplies, and we were like, that's amazing. It lasted for all these kids, you know? And
sure.
So we were shocked that 8 suitcases would give, 100 children a huge bag. But the crazy thing is we still had a ton of stuff left over. And we're like, how could you, though? I know. How is that possible? So we brought in more kids, and we just started finding all the street kids, the kids that we knew needed stuff, and we just kept bag loads we were giving away. Well, we still had a ridiculous amount of stuff. And we're like, I can't believe this. So we ended up taking it in to Kenya. That's where we were going next. And we went into the slums in Kenya, and we gathered as many children as we could that were in need. And each child, same thing, got these huge bags, and it was like amazing, designer label clothing. We're like, I never saw this when I packed it. And it was just this incredible clothes. These kids, they walked right out of a magazine. It was so extravagant. And they had all this stuff, but yet, it still wouldn't, we couldn't get rid of it. I mean, there would be times where I had looked in a bag, I knew there were no shoes left. And a child would say, oh, I'm size 5 and I really want a shoe. And I just say, let's just pray. We'd pray, dig our hands in, size 5 shoes. And we were like, I can't believe this. It was so cool. Well, that was just the beginning. I mean, we literally could not get rid of this stuff. It just kept multiplying, these 8 suitcases.
So if you'd only known, you would have brought 1 suitcase.
I know. I would have to carry all 8. Seriously. So we went out throughout Kenya, and we started distributing this stuff. We thought, this is ridiculous. We were getting ready to leave, so we've got to get rid of this stuff. We started taking garbage bags full of this clothing. Every single orphanage in the whole county we were in got garbage bags full of clothing, and we could not get rid of it. We started taking it to the hospitals. We started going to the churches. Just people, come get clothes for your kids. It never ended. I'm telling you, it went on and on and on.
You think that's amazing. Guess what happens when she gets home with those suitcases?
We fully dumped them out, and we were like, we've got to go home. It was the day we were leaving. When I got home, I started going through my bag. There was clothes that had appeared in my bag, children's clothing, all in my suitcase. I'm thinking, it came home with us. We couldn't get rid of it. It was amazing. And it just showed me, God loves the orphan. God loves the needy, the broken, and he's such an extravagant father. And it was so fun to watch him do that.
Well, speaking of children, tell me in Ecuador about the woman that went 15 years not being able to be pregnant.
This is such a sweet story. There was this woman in a church that we work with who had been unable to get pregnant, was very grieved, obviously, and we ministered to her, and she was healed. And we got the report a couple weeks later that she was pregnant. We were so excited. And just over a year later, we went back to Ecuador to visit, and she had a baby, and the baby was just a newborn, 3 months old or so. And we get a phone call from them, and they said, something tragic's happened. The baby got this lung infection, is in the hospital, the baby's now in a coma, there's been severe brain damage, and they don't expect the baby to live. And we were like, absolutely not. This is your blessing from God, and God's going to heal your baby. And so we begin to send
her. I like your ferocious faith.
Yeah,
you really believe God.
You know, it's true. I mean, why doubt him? He's real, and it's his promises are true. And so we just take him at his word, and we just get to watch him do amazing things. And so we begin to go to the hospital and our team and minister. And the first time we went into the waiting room. The baby was in critical care, so you really couldn't go to the baby. But we were in the waiting room, and there was 2 families in there. The family we'd come to minister to, and then also an unsafe family we'd never met before. And as we walk into the hospital, we hear the father of this family telling how he's going to murder the doctor. And they're enraged, they're angry. Their 9-month-old baby boy has the exact same condition as this little girl we're going to pray for. And in a coma, brain damage, same thing. And we said, can we just minister to this family first? And they're like, of course. And so we begin to just pray for this little boy of this family. And as we're praying, just our team just begins to just weep in intercession and just cry out to God for this child's life. About 15 minutes into it, the doctor comes out and says, something crazy just happened. The little boy just came out of the coma. That's not possible. And we're like, oh my goodness. So of course the family is just ecstatic. And they're like, this is your God. Who is your God? And we said, it's Jesus, you know, and Jesus can heal. And so the whole family, seven of them, pray to receive Christ. They receive Christ as their Savior. We're standing there praying, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes on them. They begin to shake. They begin to just have open visions. Our team was like, this is crazy. We weren't even asking for this. And they begin to hear God's voice. They see angels. It was an incredible encounter. But the father of the family had a vision where he saw that God was going to give both babies a brand new brain. And so they begin to say, we're going to believe God for this.
The doctors believed that they had,
they had come out, one baby had come out of a coma, but still had severe brain damage. And so that night the family went to sleep in the hospital and woke up because the father heard a voice. And the voice said, get up, go home, bathe, eat, rest, whatever, and bring your family back tomorrow. You're going to get good news. So he just did what he was told. Went home, came back the next day. Go in to see the baby. There's a red mark on the baby's head. And they're like, what happened? And the nurses are all kind of nervous because he'd been, you know, very angry before. And they said, we don't know. That line appeared in the night on his head. He said, I want all new testings for my son right now. And they retested everything. They said, this isn't possible. He has completely normal brain function. It's like he has a brand new brain.
Do you believe he had supernatural surgery?
I do. I mean, how bizarre that there was even a mark on his head, you know? And here's the greatest thing. I love how God does this.
Yeah, but what about that other baby?
Exactly. He's so fun. And you know, that other baby hadn't been healed yet. But we just kept believing. And I went in and got to pray for that baby. And when I went in there, it was incredible. It was like I could hear angels singing around her. And I just began to just pray over her and sing over her. And we got the report the next day. She also came out of the coma. And the parents were like, if God did it for that other baby, he's going to do it for our baby. And they said, we want to see complete brain restoration. I mean, that doesn't happen outside of a miracle. And retested her brain, completely brand new, perfectly fine. Both babies released from the hospital, completely normal, completely healed.
You know, Jennifer, I have to tell you, I listened personally to your CD, The Missing Key to Your Breakthrough, mm-hmm. and you have a gift to have someone hold on because the breakthrough is about ready to happen. And Jennifer identifies the missing key, but there's actually a presence of God on your teaching that you will be able to hold on. For some of you are discouraged, it's going to make a total difference in your life. But I have to tell you, do you remember that in Kenya, Jennifer broke the covenant that was made with Satan, with a higher covenant with God through Jesus? Well, everyone that is born has born into a covenant with Satan because of the original sin of Adam and Eve. But the good news is there's a higher covenant. Mm-hmm. There is a higher covenant than the one that was made with the devil. And you can be set free totally from that covenant with the devil. And you can have a new father. Jennifer has a father that she can trust. His name is God. And he's not a man that he should lie. And he says, I love you. And I sent Jesus to die in your place to make a new covenant so that you could enter into abundance and life and peace and joy and purpose and destiny and a future and hope. I mean, it gets so good. I could go on and on and on. But I tell you, if you tell Jesus you're sorry for your sins and believe the blood of Jesus washes away your sins, make Jesus your Lord. Just say it with your mouth now, right now.